Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, welcome to Blackticulate, a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals, where we find out how they do what they do, so you can too. Or not. After all, it is your life.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Blackticulate. As always, I really appreciate you guys joining us, because you could be doing anything in the world. So hopefully this episode is of value to you. And if it's not, we always, always, always value feedback. So please do get in touch. But before I tell you about today's guest and this episode, there's just a quick announcement we would like to make. Blackticulate will be joining the first ever People of Colour podcast festival, which will be going on in August the 5th in Russell Square, which is in London. We now believe there's a discount for the price of the ticket, so please do check that out. It's at solivefestival.com. And also, we believe if you're under 18, you'll get to go for free, which is amazing. So even if you yourself can't go and you know someone who's young, who may benefit from being part or just being amongst podcasters, aspiring podcasters, and people of colour that are just really raising the bar, then please send them off to the shoutoutlivefestival.com website. Now, today's guest, he's awesome. His name is Lisimba Pink. And Lisimba Pink is an entrepreneur who's had many businesses start and fail. And within that, he's got so much learning, so much teachings. And his current venture is he's got a brand called Diversity All-Star Podcast. And Lisimba Pink really just gives us a thorough overview of how he got to this stage, what tools he uses, how he books talent, how he processes his podcast, and just how he's trying to raise the tide of black excellence, which he is slowly but surely doing. So without further ado, we bring to you Lisimba Pink. So guys, once again, welcome to another episode of Blackticulate. For those of you who don't know who we are, then I must be slipping. But no, if you don't know who we are a podcast series that features UK young black professionals, where we try to find out how they do what they do so you can too. And our guests are always phenomenal, right, Lisimba?
Yes, yeah, indeed.
So the voice you guys are hearing is Lisimba. Lisimba, you know how I do, because I hope you're a fan.
I am indeed.
Likewise, I'm a fan of yours. But for those who don't know who you are, hit us, and then we'll roll from there.
Sure. So my name is Lisimba Pink.
Actually your surname, Pink?
Yeah.
Because
I always
wondered about, is it?
Yeah, it's my real surname.
Where's that from?
You know, I don't actually know the full history. From what I've been told or what I understand from my family, it's a slave surname. But I don't exactly know the full origins. I know my uncle's done some research into it, so I guess I should learn a bit more.
Nah, it's all good, man. If the past is hurtful, then the past is hurtful.
Yeah.
Sorry, I totally derailed you, and I never derail my guests. Because, all right, guys, little caveat. Like, Lisimba's a good friend. We're buddies in this field. Sorry, I derailed you.
back to who you are. Tell our guests who you are.
No problem. So yes, my name's Lasimba Pink. I also have a podcast as well called Diversity All Stars, where I interview entrepreneurs every week. And I'm also an entrepreneur myself. Also had a business abroad in Ghana. And I found myself back in nice grey London, starting something new again.
Like, you had a business in Ghana. So are you from Ghana?
No. So I'm originally from Jamaica.
Okay.
And, but I found...
Born and bred? Or...
Okay, so same from Jamaica, but my parents were born there.
Right.
I was born here.
Where?
I was born in Central Middlesex. I don't know why it's taking me long to think about that.
Yeah.
Central Middlesex.
Yeah. Anyone listening from there? Whoop, whoop.
But yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Okay, so you're born there. Like, may I ask about your background? Like, when I say your background,
sure.
Family orientation?
Okay, so there's me and my brother. Both my parents, they are together.
Right.
They're not married
right.
at the moment. But yeah, I guess I've had both my parents around me. And they're big influence in helping me
shape the man you are today.
Yeah,
are they entrepreneurial themselves? And what is an entrepreneur? Yeah, let's start with them. Are they entrepreneurial?
My dad, no.
But your mum's entrepreneurial.
Yeah, she's entrepreneurial. She had a business,
okay.
Which is called Busy Bee.
Busy Bee.
Yeah.
I love the name. I love the name.
And basically, so what it was it helped find nurses and carers for people that needed that at home. And unfortunately, I don't know the full reason, but I just know that, like, due to some financial trouble, the business collapsed.
Oh, really?
But I think it was a thing. It was too much for her to handle by herself.
Right.
It's unfortunate that she didn't start this now, because, like, I could help her, like, you know, let's just make
Does that play in your mind?
Yeah. You know, if I had perhaps been just, even if I'd been a teenager at right. the time, I could have helped her, like, kill with that business. Do you
right.
know what I mean? But being a child... At that time, it was not in my control, not something I understood.
I get that. Because I'm just quite curious to know how much of that influence of your parent made you the man that we sit today. And is there, like, any stories you can tell?
So when I say that, like, my parents are a great part of who I am today, I think that comes from their confidence in me.
Okay.
They don't trouble me. If I tell them this is what I want to do, this is what I'm going to go and do, like, they believe that I'm, you know, I'm going to do it, you
yeah.
know. And
it's a good sign of any parent. They should believe in their child.
Yeah, but they never question me with doubt. I never hear doubt in their voice of, like, am I going to achieve something? And what they do is they give me the freedom to fail. And I think that's a big part of it.
I personally don't know. What the hell's an entrepreneur? Define it first, please.
I guess an entrepreneur is somebody that won't stop at anything to reach their goal. That's how I defined it.
Okay.
And I think that somebody that wants to reach their goal, and they create an environment for them to win.
I know many of people personally within my network, right, who then corporate positions where there's a rung for you to get into board level, and they won't stop at anything. They will bulldoze their way. They will step over people to get their positions. So in my head, I wouldn't personally call them an entrepreneur, but based off your definition, they are.
I think somebody that has the framework of corporate world or work, I don't think they're an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And I think when I say, like, create the environment for them to win, they're in control of their environment. While they're taking the steps towards working towards joining the board or anything like that, at any point in time, they're vulnerable of, like, you know what, you're sacked today.
Right.
You know?
Okay, so they're not their own boss,
basically.
For want of a better way to say it.
Yeah. So okay. I think that you...
Damon Dash, got to be your own boss.
100%. If you're... I think it comes down to, as well, being prepared to take the risk. Unless you're prepared to take that risk, you're not an entrepreneur.
Interesting. So let's talk about your risk taking and how
sure.
and what entrepreneurial endeavors you've gone through before we really finally start talking about the podcast and
the steps
in building that. But entrepreneurial steps, I'm sure you had many businesses that probably grew and decreased before
sure.
you know, Intelli Pink came to fruition. So do you mind taking us through these?
Yeah.
If,
so,
you,
if you remember all of them.
I'll try and remember a few. My dad always reminds me actually that one time we went to carnival and they were handing out whistles and stuff. So my dad always reminds me that I took a whole bunch of whistles because they were handing them out for free. I put them on my arm and I was walking around and said, yeah, whistles, £1, £1, £1. I didn't actually sell any.
Okay.
But my dad always, like, he says he saw something in me of, like, trying to make money. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, any way that I can, like, make money, I was always about. I guess the most earliest thing that I tried is I tried to make a search engine or a search directory.
Oh, interesting.
This is before the days of Google.
Right.
For those, I guess, old enough to remember, yeah. This is the days of when Yahoo was big.
The dial-up.
Yeah,
up. For sure.
This was days of Hotbot, Lycos, Excite, all the web. Like,
right, I remember.
yeah. So that's how you
found stuff. So you're trying to build a search directory?
Yeah, basically.
How? Like, did you have the tech insight knowledge?
Basically, anything to do with like websites and stuff, I taught myself.
Right, gotcha.
And,
but it wasn't YouTube in those days, neither.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No.
But I remember there was loads of little websites with like code, or like I buy a book which might tell you how to code things in HTML.
Okay.
There was a website where basically I could get, if you call it the back end, and then I could put the fascia of it, if you like. So I build the website, and then I have some CGI backend that would manage the actual search functionality of the directory. The actual technology behind it, or the coding, was in CGI, but I didn't need to learn CGI. I never learned CGI. I just learned how to manipulate the code to do what I wanted to.
Right. Definitely.
So,
okay.
And then my friend at the time, he also tried one. So that was a guy called Adam King that I went to school with. And
shout out.
Yeah, shout out to Adam.
I don't know, are you friends still?
Facebook friends.
Okay, cool.
If you like. So he had his website, which was called Speed City, and I had my website, which was called Ice Fruit.
Ice Fruit.
Ice Fruit, yeah.
Okay.
So, and then, yeah, literally the directory was, it was building, you know, people were submitting their websites, I was adding people to the website.
For free?
Yeah, I was adding them to for free. The idea was, you know, just to build as big a directory that I could get. You know, it was growing. Never got to the point in time where I monetized it. Then Google came along and, you know, just stamped all over everything. You know, and that's where I wrapped up Ice Fruit.
Right.
And it became no more. And I guess with Ice Fruit, I remember like part of my ambition, my friend always reminds me of, and it's still one of my ambitions today, is that I want to create a huge tower.
Huge tower?
A huge, like a brick and mortar store. Okay. Yeah. Not store. This is my...
Residential.
This is going to be a mixture of residential, commercial, maybe with a hotel in there, some restaurants and stuff.
Okay.
And it's going to be Ice Fruit Tower.
Okay.
I just
imagine the Wayne Tower, Batman.
Wayne Tower, you know, something similar to maybe what Trump Tower's doing. Like
wow, we brought Trump in. Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
You know, but this is the idea recently expanded to, you know, one of these towers in like, you know, most popular cities around the world and stuff. But
Ice
Fruit
Towers.
Ice Fruit Towers.
Okay, you heard it here first, guys.
There you go.
Is that the dream?
Yeah. I mean, when I say my friend reminded me, it's like at the time I was like, I was big on it. Like I was a bit like, this search engine or search directory is going to be a huge thing.
Yeah.
And I want like a huge tower. And it's a goal I had. I've not realized it yet. And yeah, I will build my tower block.
So that was your first venture into the world of being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I'm really excited about this Ghana story.
Like
how that transpired, but hit me. Was there anything before that?
I guess there's perhaps one more notable thing that I tried to do.
Right.
So I tried to launch a magazine.
Okay.
And
on what?
It was called Manga Pulp.
Manga Pulp?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was basically in Japan. They consume a lot of manga, and I guess for anybody that doesn't know, manga is almost like their version of comics,
yep,
so to speak. So I, you know, read a lot of manga. I watch a lot of anime, which is the animated version of manga and stuff. And in Japan, they consume a lot of this, like, daily. Like, there's so much manga. And they have these thick magazines. They look like Yellow Pages. I guess for the youngins these days don't know what Yellow Pages is. It's like a thick, thick book, you know, with really thin pages. It's probably, what, about 2 inches thick or so?
It's in Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I mean, it's the old school version of a directory. So you find any local trade.
Yeah.
You just go in there. It's a list format index, like from A to Z.
Yeah.
But it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have these big books like that, full of manga. But what's interesting about them is that it mixed like popular culture in with the manga. So like you might have pretty girls in there. You might have stuff about lifestyle and stuff. And then, so these are the days of, in the UK, where lads mags were big.
Right.
So that was like Zoo and Nuts.
FHM.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, FHM, Maxim, you know, it'd all be about like guy stuff, you know, topless girls, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this works in Asia or works in Japan. Why not bring this idea to the UK?
Right.
Because I know loads of guys that be like into manga and stuff and like Nuts magazine and Zoo magazine were going off the chain at the moment. Why not combine them and make a magazine?
Right, okay.
So this is the days before like Kickstarter and Indiegogo and stuff.
To get money.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, to crowdfund.
Basically.
Right.
So I was like, I didn't have the money to do this. I didn't have the expertise, didn't know nothing about the magazine industry, but I was like, I am making a magazine.
Okay.
I am going to put this out. And I remember my uncle, who used to own a newsagent, so he knew a bit about how, I guess, magazines are sold.
Mm.
Then he went to go work for a magazine, so he knew the back end. So I sat down with him to try and, you know, understand, like, how the business works. And I remember, like, he looked at me for an instant, like, it's like crazy, like, you know what it takes to go in and do a magazine? I was like, I'm gonna do it, like, straight face.
Yeah.
And then I think he saw the seriousness in me, and then he basically explained what I need to do, and then I set about work.
Right.
You know.
Did you get anything published?
No.
Okay.
But
what were the hang-ups? How comes?
So basically, like, I had the first edition done.
Okay.
You know, so I managed to get manga. I had, at that point in time, the second largest distributor of manga outside of Japan, giving me material to feature in my manga magazine. I had models that I'd done photo shoots with.
You took the pictures yourself?
No. I had photographers.
Right, okay.
So they'd taken the pictures.
You're pulling in your network.
Funny enough, at this time, I had no network.
Okay.
This was pure outreach.
Right.
Emails, phone calls, doing meetups with people, just sharing my vision, people coming on board, like, and just making, like, strategic alliances and partnerships with people, brought this together.
Right.
You know, so photographers that were on board, had the models there, had a graphic designer who designed the whole thing. I had, like,
and you just sold them on your vision? You didn't pay them on the vision. Amazing.
So, okay. So, for some of the, I guess, the key people, what I did to get them on board is I did a profit share scheme.
Right.
So the intention was, we'll come on board, we're going to create this thing, and when it's out there, we're going to share the profits together. And, you know, I guess they believed in my commitment, and, you know, they were fully on board.
Amazing.
Yeah, I even had artists in China creating me some artwork. I had some other artists that supplied me manga from the States and stuff. I had people writing me content. I had a full edition ready to go.
You guys can't see Lasimba right now, but my man is practically bouncing off his chair. It seems like he's still very passionate about this.
Yeah, I guess I'm passionate about it. Maybe I'm jumping around here, but
awesome. Like, it's like, it's palpable. I'm just, there's a wave of just like when you're talking about it. Exactly.
Yeah, because I feel that, like, if I had Kickstarter or Indiegogo now, like, this thing could have really exploded.
Right.
So I didn't launch it for financial reasons.
Gotcha.
So basically, like, everything was done, ready to go. And then I started to negotiate with the printers and the actual shops that were going to stock this magazine. Yeah. And then I started to realize this was the first time I learned about cash flow. So basically, I forgot exactly how many copies I was going to print, but I remember the spend for the first run was going to be about 5,000.
Right.
And then I found out that once I print this 5,000, I then give it to the shops to distribute or to sell.
Yeah.
So that was, let's say that's the end of month one. I give these magazines to the shop. The shop now have 30 days to sell it. So I come back to the end of, at the end of month two, if you like, to collect my money. However, they have 30 days to sell it. They now have another 30 days of credit. Not credit, well, 30 days to pay, payment terms.
Right.
At this point in time, I have to give them issue two.
Yes.
So I'm now giving the printer another 5,000. Yeah. Because I was new at this point in time, because I had no history with the printer, I couldn't have got the same terms on the printer in terms of credit because I had no back history with them.
Yeah.
So then at the end of that 30 days, when I go to collect my money from the shop, so we're now month three, if that shop is late or they don't pay me or anything like that, I'd have to chase up that money. Mm. However, said printer now wants another 5,000.
Yeah. Month three, yeah.
Month three. I decided at that point in time it was too big a risk.
Right.
So that's why I decided that if anything goes wrong in that chain, you know, I'm messed up. So unfortunately, I decided, you know, to call it off because of the financial risk at the time. I did not have the disposable income, well, even
to
the investment
it, yeah.
to sustain it for as long as it needed to before it picked up.
Yeah,
yeah, that's why I you know, I wish I had like GoDaddy or Indiegogo.
Any of those crowdfunding platforms.
Because, you know, at the time, I had like people that were really passionate about the magazine that weren't involved in the project, but they were in forums and stuff and that excited about seeing this.
Right.
And, you know, now we have platforms that allow you to touch base with fans and they can get involved in helping you realize that your dream in order to help them. So,
jeez, and that was the one prior to Ghana. Jeez, how many hats do you?
That was the one, I guess, most notable. There's all, you know, schemes that you do and stuff, but that was, I guess, the biggest thing I did in terms of having people involved.
Right, gotcha.
And then, yeah, so then after that, you know, I had a good friend, my closest friend, you know, he invited me out to Ghana.
How old? What? Yeah. So I'm just thinking about your timeline. This is...
How old was this? This was probably around 07, 08, maybe. I'd be lying if I knew the exact year.
No worries.
But we went out there, I think, one Christmas. You know,
just pleasure? There was no business.
No.
Aspect behind
no,
that.
Okay. It was just pleasure, just having fun and stuff. And, you know, seeing Ghana at that time, you could see how it looked like London minus 50, 60 years.
Okay.
So,
I don't know what that means.
So, what
I just went, okay. And I went, actually, wait a minute. Don't let listen but get away with that.
So, what I meant by that is that it's like, it was like looking at a major city back in time.
Okay.
So, there were certain things where it lacked certain infrastructure.
Right, gotcha. Okay. Fine.
But you knew that it was coming. And you could see that, okay, whoever implements said infrastructure, there's a huge opportunity for them,
right,
so to speak. But I think at that time it was just a holiday, and you know,
check it out, just enjoying yourself.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, my friend might correct me on this, but I think we went out there maybe a year later. But then we saw like how quick things were moving,
right?
You know what I mean? And like the rate of progress and stuff, and like the huge opportunities. And you know, within 3 months, packed bags, moved. Gone
wow.
to Ghana. Yeah. It was like...
Because you just felt you needed to be in and amongst a developing, like, landscape. I mean, like, what were you like, 3 months, like, it just packed bags and went. Like,
basically,
who does this?
You know what it was? It was like, literally, look, I'd seen, like, the opportunity pass me by once.
What opportunity, though?
Just like... seeing a country develop,
right,
and being like, rah, if I had been stuck in this, stake my claim in any shape or form, in any form of business, and being able to grow with the country. At the time, I can't remember exactly what it was, but Ghana was recognized at that time for the fastest growing economy in Africa.
Right, gotcha. Yeah.
And it made me think that, look, I'm not sleeping or resting on my laurels. Like, this is where I need to be. Like, I need to make a decision, you know, and just go for it.
That takes a certain type of mind for every country and every city and every town, village. I mean, albeit at certain pace, but they're always developing. So I get it. I get what you're saying. Like, you know, Ghana was seen particularly as one of the fastest developing countries within Africa. So you felt, okay, well, I need to be there, but you didn't know specifically what you were going to do whilst you were there, but you just felt you needed to be there.
So the plan was always to do like property.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
That was like one of the key things that I see there, because at the time...
Management, building, when you say property?
To build, okay. Build property. Because at the time there, when you paid for rent, you paid a year in advance.
Okay.
Even when I left, it was, you know, still a year in advance. So the opportunity to build something and then rent it out, and then you're collecting a year in advance for a tower block, if you like, that's good money. Then you can, you know, forget about it for a year, and then you come knocking again in a year for my rent.
That's so fascinating. Like, I'm only saying that because I'm putting myself in your shoes or your position, and just thinking, Ade, would you ever do that? I wouldn't know where to even begin or how to start, but I guess you just have to be there to figure it out. Because, like, what expertise did you have to build buildings and towers? Yeah.
I had none. Zero expertise. You don't necessarily have to know how to do it, because the knowledge is out there. It's just execution. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, now we're in a time of, like, there's YouTube, there's books, there's people you can speak to. It's just, are you prepared to figure it out?
Yeah.
You know? I look at Musk. Musk is, like, he's planning to go...
Elon.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
sorry.
Elon Musk, sorry.
Just the way you say it, it's like your bro, do you know what I mean? Like, you guys are buddies. Just, I'm going to call Musk right now. He's going to come down and coffee. Yeah, Elon
but
Musk.
He's doing phenomenal things. Like, he went from, like, software as a service businesses to sending stuff. He wants to send something to Mars. Like, how big of a transition is that?
I mean, I think he wants to also connect our brains to computers, doesn't he?
Wants to connect our brains to computers. He's doing, like, self-driving cars. He's doing, like, a tunneling machine.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, did he know how to build spaceships before he started? No.
I hear you.
He figured it out.
For sure. I like it. The concept or the story behind it is figuring it out.
Yeah.
But what happened then in Ghana?
Oof. A lot happened in Ghana. A lot happened in Ghana. I think Ghana gave me my biggest life lessons.
Okay. Care to share?
Yeah. So... I went out there, I guess, with my closest friend, and his father had a hotel out there. There was a restaurant within the hotel and so on. The restaurant perhaps wasn't doing too well at the time.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And, you know, me and my friend got to manage it.
Right.
Just off the bat, manage it and implement our strategies. Like, we had free rein just to do what we want.
Right.
Like, literally, it's a business within the business, but we had the safety net. And that's where, I guess, I first learned my first bits of doing business abroad, so to speak. And then from there, there was a partnership formed. We went into the bar business.
Okay.
I guess with that partnership at this point in time, there's only so much I can say, but it didn't work out too well. There was also some partnerships with some land as well, but again, it didn't go as well as expected because paperwork wasn't tight. But yeah, I'm just being honest, there's only so much I can perhaps talk about that, but it meant, you know, losing a lot of money. My foray in business over there independently is at a restaurant over there, which was called Patty and Ting, which was a Caribbean restaurant. And again, you know, it was the same blueprint in that I never opened a restaurant independently before. Yeah, I had worked within the restaurant, within the hotel, but as I said earlier in this conversation, that's not representation of an entrepreneur. I didn't take the risk. You see what I mean? Right. Now it's me on my own, taking the risk by myself, you know, and opening this restaurant from scratch, literally walking into an empty building, getting the builders to build this thing, putting up the tiles, designing where I want everything, getting the kitchenware, training the cooks myself, figuring out the recipes, going and getting the food from suppliers, everything to do with that restaurant, you know, I did by myself.
How long do you do that?
So that went on for, I think it was about 6 months or so, I think it went on for. So I guess one of the big lessons I learned from doing business in Ghana, I guess this can apply to doing business anywhere abroad, is you're exposed to currency. So basically, ingredients that I needed had to be imported. Even like chicken, it might sound strange, but like so many ingredients that maybe some other countries might have themselves were imported. So we, like, the chicken was imported, the spices were imported, the special type of flour that I needed for the patties was imported. So it meant that I was at the mercy of the currency.
Yeah, I get that.
And at the time, the currency depreciated, if I remember right, from almost like 3 cedis to a pound to almost like 7 cedis to a pound in a matter of months. I had a get stock chicken, if you like. And by the time I sold my jerk chicken, the cost to buy new jerk chicken was less than the profit I had just made.
Yeah, the margins weren't great.
Yeah. And this went on for months and months and months. You know, staff needed to be paid. I had to pay for other licenses and stuff. And it was like it wasn't working. Like, I was always in a deficit every month. So at the time, I thought, you know, pounds doing strong. You know, I'll come back to London, earn some pounds, because I had that opportunity, or I had the capability to do so, because I could leave. I had the passport to leave.
Yeah.
Came back, made some pounds. So I started working, send over some money and stuff to try and top up the business in the interim, while I had a supervisor looking after the business. But no money was going in the bank account, you know. And I quickly learned my supervisor was selling, you know, fan ice or fan milk, which is like the local ice cream there, selling like phone credit. Like, it was her own little shop within
right.
the shop.
Right.
I wasn't getting no money out of it. And yeah, I was just basically sending money into a black hole. I would say that with Ghana, you have to be on the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unfortunately, you know, people were thinking about what can I take from the business. And yeah, unfortunately it was a black hole, so I had to wrap up shop. And sadly, yeah, I've not been to Ghana since.
Right, gotcha. So your venture right now, as we stand, or rather as we sit, you own a podcast.
Yes.
What is Antenna Pink?
Yeah, so Antenna Pink is an umbrella for a series of initiatives that allow me to help other aspiring entrepreneurs in the goals that they want to achieve. And also as well, it's for me to document the journey of entrepreneurship, not just for myself, for other people, in terms of like what it takes to actually do a business and make it succeed.
Right, so, okay. Why?
I guess it goes back to, it's what I enjoy.
Okay.
you know, I spent a long time trying to figure out what is it that I enjoy. And I realized that through everything that I've tried, the most common theme that I have is like, I enjoy starting new businesses. For me as well, to just being transparent, it's from a selfish angle to figure it out. To figure out what it is I'm doing next.
Okay, interesting. So IntelliPink, what is it sort of products? You've got two podcasts, am I right in saying that?
Let's call it 1.5. So I have one at the moment.
Yeah. Right.
Diversity All-Star.
Right.
So that's where I interview, you know, new entrepreneurs every week. You know, and I'm quite mindful in doing that podcast that I do perhaps speak to entrepreneurs of all backgrounds, you know, because that's important for me to share their journeys.
Yeah.
So to speak.
You call it diversity.
Yes.
So are they people of colour or have you got people who aren't of colour?
There's something to learn from people from all backgrounds, and everybody from all backgrounds has something to share, and they have the right to be heard.
Yeah.
You know, I guess at this point in time, I'm guilty of perhaps speaking to 99.9% black entrepreneurs. I say 99.9 because I've just interviewed somebody from an Asian background, but I am reaching out and I do have plans to speak to people from more diverse backgrounds.
What's this point five?
So the point five is I'm working on a second podcast. I got a couple edited. Haven't relaunched it yet. I do plan to launch it this week.
Okay.
And that's called Blog Talk DJ.
Blog Talk DJ.
Yes.
Wow, you and your name. You ain't making it easy. So, Blog Talking DJ. Okay.
Yeah. So basically with this podcast, it's more around online marketing and growth hacks that people have used to grow their businesses online. Okay. And the reason why it's called Blog Talk DJ is I'm just reading blog posts.
Oh, okay.
So I'm taking blog posts and sharing them or introducing them to a new audience that might not come across them.
Right, gotcha. Do you credit?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So for the show notes for every episode, I will link back to the original blog post.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, because there's loads of bloggers out there that got some, you know, phenomenal articles, if you like, or blog posts, and they need to be shared.
Right. So I guess let's speak about podcasts.
Yeah.
Since we're on a podcast right now, my one.
Sure.
How do you do it?
How do I record?
Yeah, not even just record. Let's start from the birth and how you've got it to this stage now. So diversity, all stars.
Yeah.
We understand that you are getting in touch with entrepreneurs from a diverse background for them to teach exactly how it is they've done what they do. Because that echoes exactly what Blacktaculate does, right?
Yeah.
We're brothers in arms here. Sure, and I always say that to you, don't I? And that's why I love your podcast. So guys, honestly, if you've never heard of Diversity All Stars, please check it out. My brother is killing it. He's smashing it. He's got phenomenal people, but also he's got really, really actionable takeaways. So please do check it out, guys. Please check it out.
Thank you.
No. It's all blessed, man. Do you know what I mean? Because credit where credit due. How do you go about your process? How do you go about recording? How do you go about booking talent? And how do you go about marketing and promoting?
Cool. So to start with the first one, recording.
Yes.
The first piece of kit that I bought is the Zoom H4n, which is a recorder, which I see you kindly have here today.
I do, sir.
Nice piece of kit. So I use my Zoom H4n. It allows me to take it on the road. It's quite portable. Or if I have to do a recording with someone over the internet, i.e. Skype or WhatsApp calling or a telephone call, it allows me to just plug that in as well. Neat trick about it as well, it allows me to split the tracks. So perhaps if I'm doing Skype calls and so on, I can have the audio for the guest and the audio for myself as well, which is neat in case I stutter and I want to re-record what I said. I can do that in post-edit and stuff. And it just gives you a bit more variety and options.
So recorder, a digital recorder, H4n Zoom. And then regarding, like, I have issues with noise.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, for me, it's one of my bugbears. And unfortunately, I always go to where, I say unfortunately, I want to make my guests feel as comfortable as possible. So I try and go to them as often as I can. But then that tends to actually mean we meet in a cafe, which is noisy and it's not a controlled environment.
Yeah.
So how do you overcome that?
So in terms of like where I've done my previous recordings, outside of obviously Skype at internet where I do that at home, I've met people at the National Theatre, which you kindly introduced me to, which we're here today doing a recording. Yeah, this is great. You come here first thing in the morning. You can normally find a nice little quiet spot. Security guards don't normally trouble you.
No.
You know, so yeah, this is a great little hangout, if you like.
But ideally, you'd want to be in a studio.
I've never done one in the studio.
Right.
Never done one in the studio. I've gone to people a few times I've done like meeting offices a few times. You know, at a later state point in time, perhaps I would like to, I forgot what you call it, where you're a member of these offices. I think it's called shared offices or something.
Yeah, co-working spaces.
Yeah, where I can get access to meeting rooms and perhaps use that. Because I recently did an interview with Linda Mbagu, which Hugh also kindly introduced me to.
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
Yeah, so she is a member of Level 8, which I believe is in East London.
Right.
And we met there in a meeting room, nice and quiet. You know, so I almost wanted to go along maybe the similar path. But with that kind of thing, I almost want the business to pay for itself.
Yeah.
Because that can kind of get quite expensive after a while.
For sure.
Which is why I've also launched Patreon.
So yes, speak more about that.
Yeah, so Patreon is a way for them to contribute to ideas or things that people are doing that they love.
Right.
So if you're an artist, you're making music, you want them to make more music, sign up to the Patreon. And basically you make monthly contributions and they can give you more potentially Patreon exclusive followers.
Is that a noun or is that an actual like software or what is that? Like, so, I've never come across, I know patronage, but okay. I've never known Patreon. So, but I get it. I mean,
you know, I don't know if it's a noun or not, but I know they have the website and.
And you just plugged it into your site.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Basically.
And then the back end, what, PayPal? And what cut do they take, if any?
I've got nobody signed up in a moment.
Oh, what? Nope. Guys, you need to sort this out. You need to push this. Do you push this?
No, I'm not pushing it at the moment.
Then, of course, then if no one knows about it, then...
You know, I've mentioned it in a couple episodes. I'm not pushed it. The reason why I perhaps not pushed it too much yet is I'm a great believer in value first. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So I almost want to get to the point where I'm giving so much value... You know, I'm borrowing this line from somebody else, no, that I will guilt people into becoming patrons.
Right, gotcha.
So, at the moment, I do believe I'm providing good value.
Well, it's actually funny you say that, because I know you categorically are providing value, because there have been a plethora of people spoken to me about you and your podcast, and just saying how amazing it is. You can actually give a shout out. I mean, I'm sure you got actually a mutual friend of ours who always helps promote our stuff.
Yes.
Masunde at Black Pen Writer.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Amazing shout out to her. She has been like, she's just a star.
And like, you know what I mean? About also like Berry from Podcast of Color?
She's doing amazing work. Yeah, like, you know,
her stuff is phenomenal. I say her stuff, basically, guys, if you check out Podcast of Color, spelled the American way, color, because she's American, it is a index, it's a directory,
mm-hmm.
of people of color podcasts. She does a lot of things within helping build our community. So
100% shout out to them, and they're doing phenomenal work. And one thing that they get is like value first.
Yeah.
Love to them.
So you guilt them into being a patron. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So when it starts making money in itself, then you can start investing in potentially having membership in these exclusive clubs where you have access to meeting rooms, say, for instance.
So...
Because there is one person that did tell me something interesting who you actually introduced me to, Toby.
Okay, cool.
He said, be part of the IOD.
Okay.
Right? Institute of Directors. Because yeah. What they do is they give you discounts on a lot of events, which is, you know, people who are... building, starting up their business, and there's just a plethora of resources on their site to help you grow.
Yeah.
But furthermore, they have so many buildings in London.
Yeah.
That you potentially can just take a guest, right?
In there, really?
And there'll be quiet spots.
Okay.
So look into that. For the year membership, it's only £99.
Yeah.
So I signed myself up. Because yeah, that's a bugbear of mine, sound.
Yeah, it is quite annoying when you set up shop, you're ready to go, and then someone sits right next to you and they start,
like case in point.
Basically. So
we do try, guys. So those of you who are listening, we try and make it excellent as much as possible. Sorry, I derailed you a little bit. You're going to say?
So interestingly, what I was planning to do, because, you know, although I'm doing podcasting, I did want to also segue into doing more YouTube as well. Perhaps, you know, recording some of my podcast episodes and stuff.
So video content.
Video content as well. And, you know, I was, you know, mentioning this to someone that, you know, I don't have somewhere where I could set up shop regularly and stuff. And when an idea that they suggested to me, which I think is an amazing idea, I don't know why I didn't think of it, is literally just touch base with a local restaurant or something like that. Find out when they have downtime or they're closed, so to speak. But some restaurants close after lunch, maybe 2 o'clock. So they may have a window in there where they're in there because they're preparing food and stuff. But you can actually use their facilities and do a partnership where, you know, you promote them kind of thing. And it's funny because I watched a video where I think Grime Daily did this when they were doing some cooking and then they partnered with the restaurant. And I don't know why it didn't come to me.
Yeah.
With that said, I reached out to a friend who I know is quite connected and was asking him, like, oh, do you know anybody? And he was like, why are you doing it in a restaurant? Just come to my office. And I was like, well, okay. So amazing. I've not been there yet to check it out. Plan to do that this week. He's based in London Fields, a bit far from where I am. But, you know, if it's somewhere that I get guaranteed access to and set up regularly, then why not?
Do you believe the guests are happy to come travel? Because that's my concern. I don't want to put them out their way.
I think I will give my guests options. You know, so the option that I will always go with is from now is that, you know, we can do this over Skype. However, I feel that there's more energy and it's better to meet them in person.
Yeah, 100%.
If they don't want to do that, then they can come to London Fields. If they don't want to do that, then I'll come to them, so to speak. But, you know, I've had some amazing interviews and I wouldn't say that the background noise spoiled it, but it could have just been that much better. Yeah. And so another tip I recommend to people is there's a website called, if I can pronounce it properly, Auphonic.
Or how are you spelling that?
I think, if I remember right, it's Auphonic.
Okay.
But if you Google it, it will definitely come up. Every podcast I do, I run it through that.
Oh, okay.
So it autos the levels. Then there's also an additional option where it can remove some background noise. Everything that I do while I, because I edit my podcast.
And it's free?
No, you do have to pay. I can't remember how much exactly I pay. It might be like £10 or £15, something like that per month. Yeah.
Okay.
And you get.
So if you batch it, then it's value for money because you can run like maybe 100 podcasts through it for that 1 month.
So the way they organize it, maybe I should have come prepared with more info, but.
No, it's all good.
You get X amount of minutes per month.
Okay.
And it resets every month.
Right.
So you can, as you're recording them, whack them in there. It will, and then we'll use some of your minutes if you like.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got them good to go next month and so on. And then I use that to remove some of the background noise. Now, so while it removed some of it, it didn't eat out or get out everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's really, really, really interesting. So how do you do when it comes down to booking talent? Because you've got a phenomenal roster of people you've interviewed.
Sure.
Like, do you do it yourself or do you have someone that does it for you?
Myself.
You're a one-man band at the moment, aren't you?
One-man band.
Surely you need help. 100%. And we'll get to that. But yeah.
Yeah. I'm a one-man band at the moment. Booking talent. I literally just look out for anybody that I see that might be interesting to speak with. I reach out to them. So I look for their email.
Okay.
So if they own a company, I try not to send the email to the generic email. Mm-hmm. I try to find their actual email address.
Yeah.
If you Google Email Hunter, I forgot what the website's called, but if you Google Email Hunter and you sign up, this is free. They do have a free service. You put the company's email address in there, then it will either give you all the emails that you can find for that company, or it will give you the naming convention.
Yes.
So whether that company does first initial, then surname, or it does first name, last name, it will give you the convention. Mm-hmm. So you can use that to try and send an email directly to the person that you need to.
Perfect.
So I normally do that, follow up. Yeah. Make sure you follow up, whether it's 3-4 times, however long you need to, the person tells you, I am not interested.
Right.
And even then, most people are polite, you know, by saying, oh, not now, because they don't want to burn bridges. And if they say not now, reach out again. Do you know what I mean? Just you keep going until you get that interview. And a lot of people are quite appreciative. Like, it's funny, someone I interviewed not too long ago, but I had been chasing him for 5 months. And by the time I actually met him, you know, from short emails, you might think by reading into it too much, think, oh, this person's abrupt, they're not really interested. But by the time you meet them, they're like, I'm glad, you know, you kept pursuing. Do you know what I mean? Because that person doesn't necessarily have the time to organize rescheduling dates.
Yeah, for sure. No, I hear that. So when it comes down to, you just pretty much Google anyone that you think is interesting and then you just reach out. Do you have any zingers? Do you throw in numbers, audience, like that initial email to try and get them on board?
No, not at all. I literally just, you know, tell people what I'm trying to do, you know, and the truth is, you know, I'm trying to help people from, you know, diverse backgrounds that perhaps might not have the opportunity to listen to people that look like them, who are successful in business, hear their story and learn from them. And also as well, I feel that, you know, we're here in the UK, in London, a lot of content I consume is all from America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it's funny that actually, because I was speaking to a friend literally just yesterday, and she was just going to say that the culture, the mentality between the UK versus the US is very different.
100%.
The US is, they would happily spend money on self-improvement. 100%. Whereupon the UK isn't about that. They'll spend money on frivolous, like just momentary fun. Right. So on our final legs, promotion and distribution, how do you do it?
So promotion is perhaps one of my weak areas at the moment.
Okay.
I know exactly what to do in terms of what I need to be doing socially, whether it's using Instagram or Twitter and Snapchat and YouTube, blogging. I know exactly what to do, but not a puss. There's only so many hands that I have and so much time that I have to implement stuff. So what's worked very well at the moment for me is Twitter.
Right.
And promoting my podcast.
On a weekly basis, because your podcast is weekly.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's worked with me, you know, but I do have plans to extend more into the Instagram, into YouTube, but there's only so much I can do. Do you know what I mean? But
so you need help.
100% I need help.
Which brings us to our final part. But I actually want to know, what is it that you need from our audience? What is it?
I need help with whether it's organization.
Okay. Right.
You know, so anything that will ease that process, whether it's doing the show notes, doing the editing, or somebody that's perhaps willing to come on board to help me with YouTube, really want to start vlogging. Anybody that wants to get involved.
I like that. What's in it for them?
What do they? It depends what they want.
Precisely. So they should come to you and then you just have that conversation.
100%. Because, you know, different people are motivated by different things. People want exposure. Some people want money. Most want money. People want a slice of the pie when it
blows up.
Blows up. It's really what happens to them. You know, it's funny, like one of me and my friend giggle about this, but my most favorite book that I have is called The Little Red Hen.
The Little Red Hen?
Yeah, okay. It's because I think it's the book most true to life. Do you know Little Red Hen?
No. Are you able to give it justice?
In very brief summary, it's about a hen that was on a farm and asked all the animals on the farm, like, who wants to help me go pick the wheat to go make bread? All the animals like, nah, pig said no. Horse said no, like everybody on the farm said no. Hen was like, cool. Hen went, picked the wheat, brought it back. Like, who will help me take this wheat to the mill to be ground into flour? I can't bother them long. No, everybody said no. Cool. So then the hen took the wheat to the mill, ground it into flour, then was like, came back, look, I got this flour. Who will help me take this flour to the baker to help me turn it into bread? Nah, you know, I can't be bothered. Pig said no, horse said no, rabbit said no, everybody on the farm said no. So the hen went to the baker, took this flour there, and then turned it into bread. Brought back the bread. Who will help me eat the bread? Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to help eat the bread.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's just the story of life. But look, there's opportunity for people that want to jump in early. More than happy to help people come on board and then we can, you know, break bread together.
Excellent. So my penultimate question is, how would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered? I would like to be remembered as somebody that never gave up, somebody that kept on fighting, and somebody that helped the community.
So how can people find you?
Find me. I'm on Twitter, which is Lesimba Pink. I'm on Snapchat.
How are you spelling that? Lesimba Pink. I mean, it is going to go in the show notes, guys, obviously, as always. But.
L-I-S-I-M-B-A, and then pink is in the colour. You can also find me at lesimbapink.com. Also, if you find everything to do with like the podcast and everything, at intellipink.com. So that's intellipink.com.
You definitely have to get Lesimba back on for part twos, because so much we can extract from you.
Sure.
But no, thanks very much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Hey guys, we would love to know what your thoughts are, what you think about the episode. So please do leave us a comment on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever it is you get your podcasts. And if you are somebody who does what our guest does, and there were things that we didn't cover, or perhaps you might have a different perspective on how to get into the industry, how to sustain it, how to thrive in it, how to kill it, then please get in touch too. Now, how do you get in touch? Well, you can reach us via email on contact@blackticulate.com or any of the major social media platforms. It is simply Blackticulate. So we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, SoundCloud. Give us feedback, help us grow, help us be accountable to you so the quality is always better, better, better. You guys are the best. Hope you have a great day, and we'll see you in another episode of Blackticulate.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.